We were discussing verse 37 yesterday. How they have different responses in the body of the devotee, advanced devotee, and how we can appreciate Rasa Shastra when we have some understanding of Rasa. This verse has a very long purport. We covered the first paragraph so far. There's some notes we discussed yesterday about vibhav and anubhav and sattvic bhavs. So the last form of devotional mellows, which go into making up bhakti ras, is called sanchari bhav or vyavachari bhav. There's 33 different ones. Sometimes they're considered adverse or against against the emotions or feelings that the devotee is experiencing, but actually they're contributory. They actually increase the love in the heart of the devotee. So those include feelings like guilt, pride, disease, and they produce a certain ecstasy for the devotee. Just like we have this, sometimes the gopis are very proud and they exhibit man, which is a type of love. And then Krishna has a very hard time meeting the gopis. And there's two kinds of man. There's one, ahoitiki man and ahoitiki. Ahoitiki is without a cause and ahoitiki is with a cause. But sometimes for no reason at all, for no cause, from Krishna's side, Radharani, of course the cause is Lalita Sakhi, but at least Krishna isn't the cause. And Radharani puts on a very contrary, unfavorable mood to Krishna. And very proud and haughty mood. And there's nothing Krishna can practically do to gain her favor or to meet or associate with her and enjoy with her. She's so resistant. It's like a wall of resistance, and Krishna is not able to scale that wall without the mercy of the Manjaris and the other Sakhis. So then he becomes a beggar, and we've heard pastimes like that described, where Krishna takes sannyas. To break this man, which is it's a vyavachari bhava, a sanchari bhava, this pride that Radharani exhibits. But sometimes Krishna is so helpless to break this man that he just goes to the Yamuna. And at the banks of the Yamuna, he's just contemplating suicide. And he's sitting there crying and crying and wondering what to do. So then Brindadevi comes there and Purnamasi, and she says, well, look, I can help you break Radharani's man and gain her favor, but you have to be willing to do whatever I say. And so Krishna, at this point, he's totally exasperated and totally, exasperated. And he's ready to do anything to gain Radharani's hand and favor again. So Brindadevi says, all right, then you'll have to do what I tell you to do. First, you have to give up that yellow dress, that Pitambara Vesh. You have to give that up and you have to wear a sannyas lungi. Saffron lungi. And then that beautiful long hair, that Keshava, because you're Keshava. You have to cut your hair and shave your head with Sika. And you be like Brahmachari, sannyasi. And then this beautiful flute that you carry, this Vamshi, you have to get rid of that. You have to give up this Vamshi. And Krishna's thinking, my Vamshi, that's my, as it says in the purport, Charami. It's my beloved associate, my dearest friend. That's the word that Bhaktisiddhanta uses in this purport of this verse, Charami, Amir. So he says, you have to give that up and you play ektar. Ektar is what these vairagis play. What they do is they go to the burning god and they find an old skull. Somebody's head. And it's like, a little bit like a bowl shape. And they get that, and then they get some string and usually a piece of gut or something, some different pieces. And they make one string, and they make an instrument. With the basis is this head of a human being on the bottom, and one string. And they go around and play that ektar. Like you've heard sitar and guitar, and all this ektar. Ektar means there's one string, and it's ding, 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 ding. So, Vrindadevi said, Krishna, you have to play like this, this thing. Not very sweet sounding or very attractive. Certainly, he's not going to make the rocks melt and make the Yamuna go backwards or make the gopis lose their minds or make the demigoddesses, you know, faint in ecstasy just hearing it. So like this, Krishna took sannyas and he started playing his ektar, and Vrindadevi taught him a little song to sing, and basically he was saying to the effect, he was saying, Radharani, she's so great. Radharani, she's supreme. Radharani, she's the queen of Vrindavan. And I have come before you merely as a beggar. And please give me your love. I'm Prem Bhikari. I'm begging for your love. So sometimes this is the position Krishna finds himself in, that he has to enter the fourth order of life and take sannyas. He goes out and he begs, and then finally he catches Radharani's attention, and again they meet. So it's all fun, and it's all to enhance Krishna's pleasure and to enhance his love. Although someone may say that's adverse. These Sanchari Bhavs or Vyavachari Bhavs, there's 33 different ones that are mentioned in Nectar Devotion. They seem to be sometimes opposite of... They seem to be against the actual desired mood, but they contribute or increase the mood of love between Krishna and his devotees. Just to back up a little bit about Vibhav, because the purport, the first paragraph on page 62 talks about Vibhav, which is kind of like the, you could say, the beginning of the movement. The love is in the heart, and then it's dormant. The Staibhav is the dormant love within the heart of the devotee for Krishna, and different factors make it start to move. And when it moves, it starts to create different effects. So, in Madhyalila Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada discusses that. He says, that which causes love for Krishna to appear is called Vibhav. Has two divisions, Alambana and then Udipan, which I mentioned yesterday. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it explains a little bit more about these. Alambana says the object of love is Krishna, and the subject of love is the devotee of Krishna. Both of them are called by learned scholars Alambana. The word Alambana is just Sanskrit. It means foundation. In other words, the basis. For there to be loving exchange or loving sentiments or loving ecstasies or tasted and felt and experienced, there must be a lover and a beloved, basically. So that's what Alambana is all about. Then Udipan, it says those things which awaken ecstatic love. For example, the child, he goes away to school. The young boy maybe goes away to school. And he has his room in the house, his bedroom. And then in his room are his shoes are there. You know, maybe his old shoes or something left there in a closet. So the mother may go into the room, and then she sees the shoes of her son, and those shoes become a stimulant. They remind, and maybe there was old baby shoes or something stored in the closet. So she sees those shoes, and they immediately trigger her memories and her experiences. Oh, I remember when he was so small, he was wearing these shoes, and her mood of being a parent and protecting him and caring for him and nurturing him, it all starts to agitate and bubble within her heart, and she starts to feel strong mood of separation from her child, and it increases her desire to meet him and to offer her love to him, even though he may be away at school. So that's kind of what Udipans are. They're just things that awaken love for Krishna. So mainly, Udipans involve the qualities and activities of Krishna, as well as his decorations, and the way his hair is arranged. Krishna's smile, the fragrance of his body, his flute, his buffalo horn, his ankle bells, conch shell, the marks on his feet, the place of residence, his favorite plant, tulsi, his devotees, the observance of fasts and vows connected to his devotion will all awaken symptoms of ecstatic love. So, sometimes people may be somewhere in Vrindavan, like at Radhakund, for example, And someone may come there and play the flute at night. And if someone is a very advanced devotee, even though it's not Krishna's flute, they would hear the sound of the flute and they would feel, they would actually, if they were in Bhava Bhakti, they would start feeling ecstatic symptoms. And they just be hearing that sound. I know, and of course, we're not anywhere near there, that level of devotion. But I can remember sometimes late at night at Radhakunda in Kartik, there was one devotee, I don't know who it was, but they would go to the Tapasam Ashram 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and they would play flute. And very, very beautiful. At least it attracted the material mind and heart of someone like ourselves. But we could imagine that if one was in Bhava Bhakti, and he actually just heard a flute sound like that, just like we said yesterday, Mukunda Das, Lord Chaitanya's associate, he saw a peacock feather 500 years ago. When he saw the peacock feather, he was overwhelmed with remembrances, with Krishna Smaran. And that Krishna Smaran just took him all the way into Krishna's Leela. And Mukunda Das, he saw the peacock feather on the dais, and then he just became overwhelmed. All the bhavas, it's called Sudipta, Satvik bhavas. When the emotional experience is so intense and so overwhelming that one loses consciousness. So he went unconscious. So same thing, hearing someone play the flute, if you were in Bhava Bhakti, that could be an Udipana, or a stimulus to remind you to send your mind and heart to the lotus feet of Krishna and flush you with intense Krishna Smaran to the point where it would excite your sthayi bhav, your devotional mellow in relationship with Krishna, and then your whole body would become transformed with an ecstatic mood, and you could even fall unconscious. Not that that's desirable to go unconscious, but it shows the extent of how any slight thing connected with Krishna can be a stimulus for awakening our attraction, our love. Especially for one who's in an advanced platform. That's why Nectar Devotion lists these things. It says Tulsi, it says the Tulsi plant, the devotees, observing fasts and vows connected to the Lord. These are all Udipanas, which can awaken ecstatic love for Krishna. They're mentioned in Nectar Devotion. So this Vibhav means a stimulation for loving affairs, like the flute, etc. So now the rest of the paragraph and the next several pages is all the different 64 arts of Krishna that are, because you see this verse, it talks about the 64 activities. It says that all these different 64 arts, they reside in the spiritual world. Well, actually, all these 64 arts that are listed here, they're all parts of Krishna's spiritual energy, or specifically his pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. And they're all completely manifested in the spiritual world and only partially manifested in the material world. So it says that of these 64 arts, the gopis are expert in these 64 arts, and especially Radharani. She's called Kalavati, which means she knows all these arts perfectly well, and she even teaches some of the other sakis how to perform them. And she's Radharani, of the 64 arts, there's two that she's especially expert in. Do you know what they are? What is one of them? Cooking. What's another one?
Dancing.
She controls Krishna, that's one of her qualities. But these 64 arts are a little bit different than the 25 qualities of Radharani. Although by using these arts, she captures the heart of Krishna. By cooking for Krishna, she captures his heart. We have that expression in our world also, that the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Right? You heard that? Quickest way to the man's heart is through his stomach. So if you cook for him nicely, then you capture his heart. Wife makes a big feast and husband's really happy. Oh, it's such nice food, all my favorite things. Then when he's in a good mood, then she says, I need some new bangles and some new saris. And he says, yeah, sure, take it. So You get you get what you want by satisfying, pleasing another person, basically. So Radharani's most expert at pleasing Krishna's transcendental senses with her cooking and her dancing. In relation to her dancing, there are different mudras that Murtis will display. The mudra of blessing the devotees is with the upraised hand. So Lakshmi Narayan, they always appear in that mood because most of the devotees of Lakshmi Narayan, they're Sakama Bhaktas. They have some desire, personal desire. They worship Lakshmi Narayan for money. They want money. They want. So therefore, Lakshmi has her hand up like this. And says, "Yeah, okay, take it. You know, it's coming. You know, here's the money. Here's the blessings." But the devotees of Krishna, they don't really want that wealth. They don't want the don of that. They want a Golokara Prema don. They want the fortune of Krishna Prema. They want to have that treasury. They want their heart to be filled with that wealth of Krishna's love. So Krishna, he gets that by you serve him and you assist him and serve him in his pastimes. So the primary, so Radharani, you don't see Radharani so many places. Some places, like in Delhi, she's like this. But when Prabhupada installed the deities here in Vrindavan and had them commissioned to be made in Jaipur, he said that Radharani is in Vrindavan, she's dancing. And as long as Radharani is dancing, then the spiritual world will continue to exist. But if Radharani stops dancing, then the spiritual world will come to a halt. So we want to make sure Radharani keeps dancing. So, you know, as long as we please Krishna and keep him here, then she'll stay here and dance for his pleasure. And he'll sing. He sings and Radharani dances. And sometimes Radharani sings and Krishna dances. And sometimes the gopis sing and play musical instruments and they both dance. There's so many varieties of dances that they perform in the Rasa Leela night, which is coming up in some days. Next Purnima is Maharas dance. So the Maharas dance, there's 8 or 9 different varieties of dances that go on during that night. And Radharani is known as Gandharvika because her dancing is far superior to all the heavenly girls and heavenly planets, the Gandharvas. So she's known as Gandharvika. So the other thing is mentioned here is that actually the different gopis are personifications of these different arts. And it's listed by Rupa Goswami that some gopis are expert in, like Tungavidya, for example. Tungavidya, it says that she's expert in 18 arts. You know, like some people have a, you know, master's degree and some people have a PhD or something. You know, 5 degrees or something. So Tungavidya, she's expert in 18. And, you know, Radharani, of course, is expert in all of them. So it says here that in this verse that these are embodiments of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities. So all these different arts are actually made of Ladini Shakti. They're different manifestations of Radharani. And these different arts are offered to Krishna and are utilized in his service, and they bring about ecstasy. Krishna gets great happiness in these. And as far as Tungavidya, she's expert in 18, especially drama and art. And Induleka, she's one of the Astasakis. She's expert in mantras, palmistry, making garlands. So, you know, palmistry, you know, reading the palm and seeing what the palm is. And some gopis are expert in riddles and joking. Just like you have your friends, some are good jokers, you know. So some gopis are very expert in telling riddles and jokes. And other gopis are expert in training parrots and birds how to speak like human beings. And like this, you see, we'll read these arts. It's kind of, I always found great pleasure in reading these 64 arts. Because I'm kind of, myself, really an uncultured, kind of aboriginal person. And I don't really have any too many artistic qualities, practically, I think, none. So when I read about these qualities, the artistic qualities of the spiritual world, it's very attractive to me. So at least, like in my own meditation, I can meditate on these different arts, and maybe someday we will be able to become expert in these arts for the pleasure of Krishna and the spiritual world. So I think we can read those, and then I'll read sometimes the elaboration on it. You can follow along with me on page 62 and 63, these arts. Because see here, in this world, we may be possessing particular qualities or abilities, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribir, which are the results of our punya. For example, it's said if a person has been very pious and performed a lot of sukriti in his last life, especially if he has given donations to musicians and done a lot of charitable work in that department, then in this lifetime, if he did that last life, in this lifetime he'll be blessed with a good singing voice. He'll be a good singer. And that was mentioned by our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, in relation to John Lennon, which I mentioned before. It said that he lived in Calcutta in his previous life, and he was a patron of the arts. He would give a lot of donations to musicians and songwriters and patronize them. So he was blessed for all that good activity, pious activity. So in this life, he was a pretty famous musician. I think everyone will appreciate, John Lennon of the Beatles. So in the same way, the person who can sing very well, it's automatically he can sing. It's due to previous karmas. So these talents are not so much to be gained by practice. Many of them are gifts, are rewards for our punya from last life. So someone might say, singing is one of the arts, the art of singing. So I want to sing for Krishna. But the fact is, you can't sing. You're tone deaf and you can't carry a tune. It's like that. Very few people can actually sing nicely. So in this regard, this art of singing, we can sing in our own private places, in our kutir. We may not sing in a temple. We can pray to Radharani, "Oh Radharani, you're a Gandharvika, you're such a good singer and dancer, and you're an expert in all these arts. Please bless me that someday I can sing nicely for you. At least if not in this world, in the next world." So the first art of the 64 arts is Gita, the art of singing, composing songs, articulating different melodies, notes, accents, and meters. And the second one you see is called Vadya, which means the art of playing on four types of musical instruments: wind, string, percussion, metallic cymbals. Number three, the art of dancing and moving the limbs in various symbolic expressions. It includes dancing with different rhythms, songs, and melodies. Number four is Natya, the art of theatricals. This means the art of writing theatrical dramas. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was quite fond of drama. So his associates, they would write different plays. And he would star. He starred in one play he did, was Dwarka Leela. And he played Rukmini. And he was dressed up as Rukmini, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he went on the stage, and the stage was next door to his house, at Chandrasekhar's house. They set up a pandal there with a stage, invited everyone to come for the theatrical performance. Mahaprabhu came there, and Haridas Thakur, he was there. He was the announcer. He was the MC. And he had a big handlebar mustache. I mean, he was shaved up and everything, but he had disguise, Big handlebar mustache, and he was whirling a stick, and he had a turban. And he was the announcer for the play. And everyone got a big kick out of that because they recognized him right away, so everyone was laughing, and Mother Sachi was laughing, and Jagannath Mishra, everyone had a good time. And then there was a scene when Rukmini came out and was discussing with Krishna, and so very wonderful play that was going on. Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing Rukmini, and then someone leaned over to, I think, Chandrasekhar's wife, Malini or whatever, I forget. She leaned over and said, "Oh, you see your son there?" "No, that's not my son. I don't know who that is. I know my son. That's not my son. His face is different, his mannerisms, his way of speaking. I can't detect any similarity." So then after the drama, all the players came out and took a bow like they do. And so, and then Haridas Thakur introduced everyone. "So here's Rukmini. This is Nimai, this is Vishrambar, and Mother Sachi." "Wow, How is this possible? So like that, this is going on in the spiritual world, that they perform in different dramas, just like I told the story just now of Prem Bikhari, where Brinda Devi, she wrote a wonderful theatrical drama and put Krishna as a star, and he had to take sannyas and shave his head and play ektar to beg Radharani for a prem. So if you like writing dramas and things, you can also do that in the spiritual world. So that's one of the 64 arts, number 4. Then 5 is alekya, the art of painting and drawing and calligraphy and painting pictures. It includes all forms of simple village arts up to the highest professional stage of masterful painting. So calligraphy is also there. There's some story, I remember, I don't know how well I remember, but maybe Parvati can help me a little bit. But there's a pastime where Prabhupada, not a pastime, but say activity, anecdote, where Prabhupada was buying a piece of property. And maybe it was Bombay, I can't remember. And they were on to draw up a contract. So then he called Yamuna Devi, and he's, because she had very good handwriting. He said, you can do your calligraphy and draw up the contract. So then she went out and got some paper, and she had some pens or whatever, and she drew up the contract with calligraphy to buy this piece of property right on the spot. She wrote the terms of the contract like this with calligraphy. It's this very kind of fancy writing type of thing. And bought that into Prabhupada, and then person, they signed it, and the person says, whoa, this is amazing. This is like so professional. And Prabhupada was very proud. Yes, yes, my devotees are very, you know, this is Yamuna Devi. She did this. She can sing and calligraphy and cook and all these things. You remember that? There's one, anyway, that went on. So this is included in Alekya. Number 6 is Vishesh Akachchedya. Means the art of painting the face and body with colored unguents and cosmetics. So anyone, means the art of painting the face and body with various dots and designs of colored unguents and cosmetics. So those devotees that do pujari work, they're practicing this art, and some of them are quite expert at it. And yeah, putting tilak on our faces, I guess, is something like that. But you see some beautiful designs that are captivating. You can imagine, I mean, the pujari, he's painting Krishna's face, Shamsundar's face, and he's painting in such a way. Why is he painting in such a way? Not so much to please Krishna, but he's painting Shamsundar's face in such a way to please Radharani, to captivate Radharani, that when Radharani looks at his face and she sees what an intricate and beautiful design of vines and flowers and little shapes and geometric shapes, she'll be like totally enamored and totally attracted. And then when the pujari paints the face of Radharani, he's thinking the same way. I have to capture Krishna with this beautiful painting on Radharani's face. So this art is a very, very wonderful art that I think Chitrasakhi is very expert in this art of painting Radharani's face. In the morning time, after Radharani's bath, and different sakis like Chitra, they'll paint her face and decorate her, then they'll hold up a mirror. So they show a mirror to the deities. And it's a very wonderful service. And that's a service that goes on in the spiritual world. One sakhi takes the mirror. See, a lot of what we do here in this world, in our so-called Vaidhi sadhana, in our rules and regulations, and all these yamas, niyamas, is all part of Nitya Lila. It's all done in the spiritual world. It's just a matter of your consciousness to how much you're in rules and regulations and how much you're on the spontaneous platform of directly pleasing the transcendental senses of Radha and Krishna. Because the activities, many of the activities are the same. We're cooking for Krishna, the gopis are cooking for Krishna, we're offering the mirror to Krishna, the gopis are offering mirror to Krishna. That's Nitya Lila. So we're in our sadhaka roop, we're actually engaged in Nitya Lila. Because Krishna is Nitya. The deities are Nitya. They're spiritual, transcendental, eternal. It's really Krishna, and it's really Radharani, and it's really a mirror, and they're really appreciating how beautiful they're dressed. Where are we? Where is our consciousness, and where is our thinking and attitude when we offer the service? Well, that depends on how advanced we are in Krishna consciousness. So those services are they're directly like that. So after Radharani sees in the mirror how beautiful she looks when she's in Yavat or Barsana, then she immediately says, "Oh, that's so beautiful. I've never seen such attraction. You gopis and mandris have done such a wonderful job in dressing me and this painting my face is vishesh akachedya. And let's go immediately now. Now my everything's looking so fresh. All the malas, all the little malas in my braid, in my hair, on my ears, and everything's so all the garlands and flowers are so fresh and sweet and nice. Let's immediately run to Nandagram so that Krishna can feast his eyes on this beauty. This beauty is for him." So that's her mood. She's not thinking, "Oh, wow. Wow, I'm so beautiful, you know. I'm the most beautiful, handsome person in the whole universe." And we just look in the mirror like for days and days and days. You know. We have a mirror on that wall, and that wall, and that wall, and that wall, on the ceiling, on the floor. You know, mirrors all around. You go in these people's houses sometimes, and you know, you could do programs or something in Delhi or different places in the world. You go in the bathroom, it's like, you know, mirrors all different angles, 10-degree mirrors, 20-degree mirrors, 40, you know. It's really too much. They want to stay there forever and enjoy the mirror image. But as soon as Radharani sees her mirror image, she wants to offer that to Krishna. So, the seventh art is Tandula Kusuma Bali Vikava. And that is the art of preparing auspicious offerings for worship with rice and flowers. It includes making paintings on the floor or ground with liquid paste of rice flour. This is called Gangoli?
Rangoli.
Oh, Rangoli. And it's also called Shaji or something? Where the Radha Raman temple is, right when you go in the entrance way, to your left there's a little stone building with a little Ras Mandala there and usually a bunch of monkeys jumping around there. It's where the rickshaws park. There's a little mandir in there, and they have this festival there, usually around springtime. I think it's around springtime. And then they open the doors of that place, and that the only purpose of that place is to do these decorations on the ground with this colored rice flour. So they bring in these experts from some village around Braj or somewhere, and sometimes they'll make Govardhan Hill, and they'll make all the cows, and all that are different colored rice flour mixed with different colored dyes. And it's very, very beautiful, really beautiful. It has the gopis and Krishna and the cows and all Govardhan Hill. So this is an art that's also done for Krishna's pleasure in the spiritual world. Number eight, Pushpashtarana. Well, this is a busy one. It goes on quite. The art of making comfortable resting places by spreading flowers on the ground. So this of course includes, you know, making flower beds and all kinds of flower pillows and whatnot. Number nine, Dashana Vasananga Rag. This is art of coloring the teeth, clothing, and bodily limbs with cosmetics like saffron. So they color their teeth. It's like sometimes people, nowadays people do funny things with their teeth. You know, they get fillings made or they get caps made for their teeth shaped like a heart. You know, there's a cap on their tooth, but it's a heart shape. Or you see some people like, you know, musicians and stuff like that in bands and stuff. I remember Prabhupada used to have his teeth were all gold capped. He had, when he was in New York, he had his teeth redone, and the devotees had some money at that time, so they made gold caps. And when you see Prabhupada smiling, you see all these little pieces of gold inside there, gold caps. It looks quite attractive. So there's an art of coloring the teeth and clothing with cosmetics like saffron. It sounds like tie-dyeing or something. You know tie-dyeing? Like in the old days, they used to take some cloth and you tie it up with different strings and you dip it in dye and it makes all these different patterns where you tie it up. So the tenth one is Mani Bhumika Karma. The art of inlaying floors, courtyards, and pathways with colorful mosaics of precious jewels. So, art of inlaying floors. So, that's quite a... You can imagine gopis are expert in these arts. It almost sounds like women's lib or something. Nowadays you see ladies driving bulldozers and, you know, tractors, and see them driving big dump trucks and stuff in the West, and, you know, in the equality movement. So some of these arts seem rather, you know, like kind of hard labor type of arts, inlaying floors and, you know, cutting away stones. But of course these things were done by the devotees, the most probably what we can think of in our mind is the gopis of New Vrindavan. Prabhupada has a place called Prabhupada's Palace, and many of the gopis of, you can say gopis means the lady devotees that were living over there, Prabhupada's disciples and others, they were engaged in this art of inlaying floors. They had hammers and chisels, and they were chiseling away the marble and making pieces to fit inside. And so if you ever go there, you'll see what beautiful work they did inlaying the floors. It's really one of the most beautiful places, Prabhupada's Palace. Maybe seen on the movies or something, but it's all done by the devotees. So there's the art of inlaying floors and making pathways with colorful mosaics and precious jewels. If you want to see something like this inlaying art, you go to the Jayapur Mandir down near Ramakrishna Mission on that street to Mathura, Vrindavan Mathura Road. There's a Jayapur Mandir. And still in some of the columns and some of the floor, there's inlaid stone. There used to be jewels. There was rubies and different semi-precious jewels in the columns, and people over the years, they came and chipped them out. They chipped them out and used them for whatever, rings or whatever. So you see the spaces there. They used to be all nice rubies and not high quality, but rubies and diamonds and other nice stones there in those columns. Number 11, Shaya Rachana. The art of preparing different types of beds, complete with carpets, cushions, pillows, cloth coverings, and decorations like tassels. That's number 11. It's a little more elaborate than what you have in the book. So that's a nice art, making different types of beds and carpets, cushions and pillows, and cloth coverings with decorations like tassels. Some ladies do like that. Sometimes they like embroidering and sewing, ladies or men, I guess. And so this is also going on. Number 12 is Udaka Vadya. The art of making music in the water. The cupped palms splash downward to produce a thumping sound of kettle drums, or the hand splashes sideways back and forth to simulate cymbals. Sometimes this art is said to be playing different pots filled with varying levels of water to produce melodious tones. So that's a fun one. That's a fun art. You know, when you go to the Yamuna or you go to Radhakund, and sometimes they have a splashing contest or they have musical contests. You know, Krishna may play the flute and the gopis will accompany him. He'll stand up to his waist in the water of Radhakund, and he'll have to take his vamshi, and he'll play the flute, and the gopis will puff, 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 shh, puff, puff, shh, hit the water. Then number 13 is Udaka Gata. The art is splashing with water and storing water in cisterns and reservoirs. 14. Chitra Yoga. The art of trimming, decorating, hanging pictures. 15. Malya Gratana Vikap. The art of stringing necklaces and weaving flower garlands for various uses. So some people are already doing that. They're making necklaces for Krishna, making flower garlands, so they already have one art in the bag, so to speak. You're already doing one art. Sometimes you collect gunjamala, like some devotees, Mukunda Datta, he has gunja growing in his house, because that's the only thing monkeys won't eat. If you plant papaya or some nice trees around your house here in Vrindavan, the monkeys will take it all. So he planted a few years ago gunja, some gunja bushes, and so they're growing nicely on the walls of his property over there, Madhavan Colony. Now they're producing so many gunja berries. So he's picking them and then he's stringing them and making such a beautiful necklace, these little red and black berries. It's one of Krishna's favorite necklaces, gunja necklace. And you see the deities sometimes have. So this is one of the arts, stringing nice necklaces for the Lord. Number 16, Shekhara Pita Yojan. The art of setting a crown upon the head, including turbans and top knots of flowers. Number 17, Nepatya Yoga, the art of putting on costumes in the dressing room for theatrical performances. It includes scenic stage arrangements. Number 18, Karna Patra Bhanga, the art of decorating the earlobe with flower or leaf ornaments and painting ornamental figures. Number 19, Sugandha Yukti, the art of preparing and applying aromatics and perfume cosmetics of various kinds. It includes sprinkling sandalwood pulp and water to produce a nice fragrance. That's like in Mayapur, when in the summertime they have a nice festival in the summer season where they bring Radhamadav, the Mahotsav deities, out. Well, they used to. I don't know if they still do. But I've seen on Saturday, and they have an elephant procession. And they, maybe they still do. And they put the deity on top of the elephant, and they go for a little ride on the elephant. And then some of the different Gurukul boys and children, they're dressed up as coward boys sometimes. And then they, and gopis, I guess. And they go with a little sprinkler, and they sprinkle sandalwood water on the roadway in front of the elephant to create a nice fragrance for the pleasure of Radha Madhav. They very much have a nice mood of deity seva over there, as we do, but especially over there in Mayapur, because they've had the same head pujari since 1971, so it's kind of a continuity of seva. And they have very, very many personal kind of festivals with the deities, and it really makes you feel like you're in a spiritual world. Of course, we are in the spiritual world, but when they have these festivals and they make different special personal arrangements, including things like this, right, that are done in the spiritual world, it very much puts you in the mood of being in Krishna's pastimes. Number 20. Bhushana Yojan, the art of beautifying the body and limbs with specialized types of ornaments and jewelry. Number 21. Indra Jal, the art of presenting stage music, illusions, and jugglery. So that's a good one. Some of the kids, you know, some teenage children are usually pretty good at jugglery, you know, throwing things. So that's and illusions. Stage music. Number 22. Kochumara Yoga. Art of appearing in various disguises. Oh, wow. Krishna probably is the best one at this art. Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he describes about 25 different pastimes where Krishna appears in different disguises. And mostly he appears like that in order to get into Radharani's house, get past her mother and father, or to break her man. So sometimes Krishna dresses himself up as a female manicurist, one who trims the nakawali, one who trims the nails and paints the fingernails and whatnot. So of course Krishna has to dress up as a lady, and dresses up as a lady, and then goes to the front door and said, oh, just like people here in India, they go up and down the street with little hand carts, loha, 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 do you have any old iron, sabji, sabji, and they sell all these things. So Krishna was going up and down the streets of Barsana, and he was saying, anybody want their nails cut? Anybody want their fingernails painted? So then Lita looked out the window and said, oh, look, there's some new lady in town who's cutting fingernails. Maybe she's quite good. We'll get a nice, you know, manicurist job. So then they called her inside, so then she started, Radharani said, first do the feet, you know, do my feet. So then Krishna started to work, you know, took her foot and was just kind of pushing her cuticle down and, you know, like adjusting. And then he just couldn't get himself off of the one toe. You know, he was like holding on to Radharani's toe, and it was just like, you know, it was just stuck over there like a broken record. And Milita Sakhi was saying, hey, come on, there's 9 more toes. You know, let's go to the other ones, you know. Oh, yeah, okay. Next one. And then before he even got, you know, before that Krishna even got to the second foot, then Lalita Sakhi understood that this was this Krishna in disguise, and he so cleverly disguised himself as a female manicurist that he was able to get right by Kutila and Jatila and right into Radharani's private quarters and serve her lotus feet. So in this way, Krishna is very expert in Kochumara Yoga. Number 23, Hasta Lagava, the art of sleight of hand. A sleight of hand means, what does it say there? Yeah, sleight of hand. Sleight of hand means, see the ring? No, you don't see it, see?
Huh?
No, then the guy goes like this, and behind your ear, and he says, see? You go, oh! And little kids, they get pretty excited about that. You know, the sleight of hand. So that's an art that we can do in the spiritual world. To me, it sounds very attractive. I'd like to live in a place where all these arts were displayed. It's a lot of fun, a lot of variety. It's not a dull place. Everybody just walks down the street, good morning, good morning. You know, how are you? Fine. And it's like so, material world is so boring and so predictable and so calculated and boring and really. But when you hear about these kind of things and there's so much excitement and variety and it's very attractive to me. Number 24 is Chitra Shakapupa Bhakshivikara Kriya. That means the art of preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, delicious food, and pizza. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, what? That's not. Somebody made a mistake. No, that's not. That's not in my book. I don't know. Ravioli. I don't know. But at least what it was, the translation we had was salad, bread, cake, and delicious food. So for some, pizza is very delicious food. So maybe that. Number 25, Panaka Rasa Ragasava Yojana. Asava, you may know this word, asava. So asava, like you go across the street and they always want to give you so many rishtas. Rishtas and asavas, kumari rishta, kumari asava. So asava and rishta basically means Ayurvedic wines. And when you go there and say, I'm just taking my Ayurvedic medicine. He gave me some draksh ashava. My digestion wasn't very good, so he prescribed some draksh ashava. So draksh means grapes. So in Rome, his father, his grandfather prescribed some, you have indigestion from your pizza? Take some grape wine. So grape wine in India is called draksh ashava. And draksha means grapes, and ashava means fermented grapes. It means grape wine. So your friendly Dr. Gupta across the street is like, it's like a wino or something. Yeah, I'm just taking my digestion medicine here. I feel really good. So this word you see is there, ashava, panaka, rasa, ragasava, yojan. So it's the art of making nectar drinks and tinging draughts with red color. This means madhupan, which means honey wine from different flowers and different fruits. So believe it or not, there is wine in the spiritual world, but we should not imitate that spiritual world. We can appreciate it and worship from a distance. Of course, it also means, nectar drinks, like at 4 o'clock offering, right? We do the 4 o'clock offering, we're always trying to think how many different kinds of nectar drinks we can make for the Lord, special nectar drinks. And we find so many secrets that Prabhupada taught us that about cooking itself, that if you take some drink like you take orange juice and you make orange juice, then you add a little bit of salt, it completely takes out the bitterness because salt is alkaline and orange juice has acid in it. So when you add alkaline salt with the acid in the orange juice, it makes a chemical combination, it neutralizes it. So then the orange juice tastes very, very sweet. It has a nice smoothness to it. It doesn't give that kind of scratchy taste. So then you mix different juices together and add just the right amount of black salt, and the salt disappears, there's no salty taste, and along with disappearing, it creates a chemical reaction which makes a very nice nectar drink. And then you chill it with ice and So Prabhupada taught different techniques of how to make very pleasurable nectar drinks out of simple fruit juices in combination with sometimes a little pepper or a little salt. So this is one of the arts that's done in the spiritual world. 26 is Suchi Vaya Karma. So Suchi means needle. The art of needleworks, weaving, embroidery, and tailoring. So our friend downtown will be good at that. Six fingers. There's one famous tailor downtown. He has six fingers. He has five fingers plus an extra thumb. So he's called Six Fingers. And he was a famous tailor. He used to, I don't know about ladies' clothes, but he used to make a lot of men's kurtas and these fancy kurtas that some devotees wear. A very attractive type. So he has six fingers, and he's called Six Fingers. So he's expert in his tailoring work for devotees. Number 27 is Sutra Krita. This is the art of manipulating puppets with strings. So I guess our Mother Jagatarini, she already has some seva in the spiritual world, because she was here in that Gurukul for many years, and her husband Burijan, and she used to put on these puppet shows. Her and her husband, actually, both, put on different puppet shows for the enlivenment of the adults and children alike. So this is also going on in the spiritual world, puppet shows. 28, Veena Damuraka Vadya. This is the art of playing on lute and small X-shaped drums. Damru. Damru is that drum that Lord Shiva plays. It's shaped like an X. The little kids have these little plastic imitation ones that drive people crazy. They sell them, drive your parents, the parents crazy. They get these little drums and three or four little monkeys get together and start, rattling on those things, and it just drive anybody crazy. So number 29 is Prahelika, the art of making and solving riddles. 29 is Pratimala, or is it 29A actually? The art of reciting verse for verse as a trial for memory or skill. So it's like you recite verses and see how your memory. Number 30 is Durvachaka Yoga, the art of skillfully uttering tongue twisters that are difficult for others to repeat. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious or whatever. I know, there's, what was that one? There's one from My Fair Lady, I think. What is it, Mary Poppins? Anyway, some kind of, there's, tongue twisters means you say something and it's very hard to say clearly and fastly. So number 31, Pushtaka Vachan, the art of clearly and quickly reading and reciting books, including techniques of chanting and intoning. So this means they have speed reading up there. They read with their fingers, right? The speed reading. So that's an art that's up there. Pushtak means kitab, or kitab means book. Pushtak. Number 32 is Natikak Akyakika Darshan, the art of enacting short plays and anecdotes. Number 33 is Kavya Samasya Purana, the art of completing verses after hearing only three lines. Includes solving crossword puzzles and various puzzles. So crossword puzzles are going on in the spiritual world also. This art is usually played at the risk of losing a stake or paying a penalty. In other words, there's some gambling involved. In other words, like I'll say, all right, I'll recite a verse, and if you can't give the last line, you have to give me a rasgulla. And if you give me the last line, then I'll give you a rasgulla. So then the verse is Sarva Dharman Pritya Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Swam Sarva Pavyo. Oh, I have to give a lot of rasgullas. Well, maybe next year. I guess that's it. On that note, Madaram Samapaya. We'll end on the rasgulla.